Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. While gender activists want to equalize everything between men and women, there are fundamental differences they can't erase. Fact is, men and women are made differently and have different roles in a marriage. Today, sorting out those differences and seeing why those roles complement each other perfectly. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues a series on the marriage puzzle, why commitment can do what love can't. Listen as Erwin Lutzer comes now to talk about the puzzle of your roles.
Well, I begin today with a question. What is a woman and what is a man? What is masculinity and what is femininity? That's the question we hope to solve in the next few moments, and solve it based on the Bible. Many of you know that this is the third in a series of messages entitled The Marriage Puzzle, and it is a puzzle, isn't it? Some time ago this summer, I asked that people would write down red flags that they missed during their dating years before they were married. What red flag did you overlook that became a problem later in the marriage? Some of you will know that in the first message in this series, I delineated four red flags, and today I'm going to give you one more. And that is two letters from women who married a mama's boy. My husband could do nothing without asking his mother. She either came with us or he got permission from her to go anywhere. He was nearly 30 when we dated, and I saw the writing on the wall. Well, during the honeymoon, he was constantly checking with his mother about everything. We've been married 15 years and have a lot of grief in our marriage. We've had difficulty with my mother-in-law. Really? We've had difficulty with my mother-in-law in setting boundaries for her. He was in an enmeshing and controlling family, and he failed to leave and cleave. But notice this, it took the grace of God and counseling to overcome this obstacle in our marriage. Even today, we have to deal with the weeds and the garden of our relationship, but we are facing them with a united front. We can see how gracious God was in protecting our marriage from divorce. And together we are learning to rejoice in God. So that's a success story. But here's another like it. We've been married for 17 years and are still struggling with the issue of boundaries and bitterness. For the first 12 years of our marriage, my husband spent more time worrying about his mother's feelings than mine. He was raised without a dad, no other siblings, but his mother seems to be his ex-wife to me. And although he has changed, we are now believers. I have a hard time trusting that he puts me first. Well, what do we have to say to Mama's boy? Before this message is over, I'll have some words for him. What is a man? What is a woman? I think it is true to say that most women have a better idea of who they are than most men. Men don't know who they are and who they're supposed to be. And let me tell you why. First of all, I think because of the feminization of our culture. You know, we were told that if you give boys dolls, they will play with dolls just like girls do because it's all conditioning. So they gave boys dolls and discovered that they bent them in the shape of a gun. And then they began to realize, maybe there is a fundamental difference between boys and girls. Now, of course, all of us would agree that women should have equal pay for equal work. We agree that they are equal in terms of value and oftentimes superior in intelligence. We agree with that, but the feminist movement overreached, and by overreaching have confused in a very serious way the roles of men and women. And because of this, men don't know who they are because they thought that all the roles are interchangeable. And they aren't. Intrinsic to every man and every woman are certain dispositions, as we shall see. And while they may do a number of different things, the fact is that femininity and masculinity lies at the heart of who we are as persons. But men today don't know who they should be. If they hold back their wimps, if they give leadership, then they are insensitive. So who should they be? Another reason for this is because pornography has deadened the desire of some men for romance. As a result of that, you find today that men who have seen everything and perhaps even done everything, the mystique is gone. But perhaps the most important reason is the breakup of the family. With a family having broken up and so many homes without a father, boys grow up not knowing who they are, not knowing how a father should act. They bond with their mothers. And girls grow up and they, of course, want to fall into the arms of the first boy who tells them that they are beautiful because there's no dad there to affirm them and to give them the guidelines and to know where the boundaries are. Consequently, we are in trouble today in our families, and I almost was as this sheet of paper would fall on the floor. Now, the result of all of this is that men, and this may also be true of women, first of all, they really are hesitant to commit. I know that there are some women who feel as if boys today, young men, date young women. They build friendships. The young woman makes a tremendous investment, maybe of months and years in the relationship, and then the guy just walks away as if nothing happened. And he is either unaware of how deeply he has hurt her, or else he doesn't care. And so we live today in the day of what we could call disposable relationships. One young woman told me, she says, we are like cars in a parking lot, and guys come along and then they test drive this car and then they test drive that car, but they aren't interested in commitment. They're interested in a friendship that can be disposed of when it is convenient. That's one of the problems of our culture. Another is that you find that a boy sometimes is trapped in a man's body. The guy simply never grew up. And even though he should be an adult, he doesn't act like one. Somehow his childhood got missed along the way. And of course he gets married because he's interested in sex, but he becomes very bored of that after a while, and he is unwilling to do the hard work of having a good marriage. He has what we could call the Donald Trump syndrome. One time I heard Donald Trump say, when he was divorcing one wife to marry another woman, he said, you know, he said, I work hard all day. I figure I shouldn't have to come home and work on my marriage. Well, sorry, Donald, but if you don't work on your marriage, it isn't going to be a good one. Rebecca and I actually know a couple, a woman who told us that her husband still played with toy boats in the bathtub. Some have just not grown up. Now, Yeah, that's true. Now, it used to be, in years gone by, it seems to me, that men were men and women were women and everyone knew where they fit. It seems to me that that's the way it used to be, but it isn't. I think that Jesus was a real man. I think that when Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee and he saw these real men, these disciples who would become his disciples, and they were fishing, and he was able to speak to them in such a confident way that they were willing to put down their nets and follow him. Today you can't get some men to put down their remote and come to church. And by the way, do you know why it is that men love the remote so well? The remote control, because to a man, even remote control is better than none at all. So as a result of that. Now the question is, what is a man and what is a woman? I'm going to take the definition of John Piper, and this is based on the Word of God, not contemporary culture. John Piper says, at the heart of a mature masculinity is a sense of benevolent responsibility Notice these words, to lead, provide for, and protect women in ways appropriate to a man's different relationships. That's the heart of a mature man, a sense of benevolent responsibility to lead, provide for, and to protect women. That's the way in which God wired us. Now, of course, there are many women who don't know who they are either. And they don't know who they are because they grew up in a culture where beauty was everything. Young girls who are now mothers grew up during the days when Madonna was popular. So they've come through that phase. Of course, the contemporary ones are into Britney Spears or Paris Hilton and some of these role models, if you can use that word. And as a result, they grow up thinking that they have value only if they are pretty and beautiful. And as a result, all kinds of insecurities, all kinds of marital problems. Rebecca and I know of two instances where wives, mothers, have left their children behind. Now, this is even contrary to natural desire and natural affection. They've left their children and they have gone out to seek other men because they constantly need the approval of other men. An insatiable desire because they don't know who they are either. And what a mess, and what a world in which we live, and the media certainly is partially responsible. Let me give you a definition of femininity. This also is John Piper's definition. At the heart of mature femininity is a freeing disposition to affirm, receive, and nurture strength and leadership from worthy men in ways appropriate to a woman's different relationships. The key word there is affirm, receive, and nurture strength. And so that is part of her DNA, part of her hardwiring. Now, this summer, when I asked people to write to me and to tell me the red flags that they missed, I had this note scribbled on the back of an envelope. And I want to read it to you because you can understand that marriage sometimes represents the perfect storm, doesn't it? You've got all of these insecurities, all of these misconceptions on one side, all of the expectations and misconceptions on the other side, and then you put them together and they're supposed to live happily ever after. Oftentimes when people get together in marriage, they forget that they have radical differences. And those differences oftentimes are regarding the goals in life, regarding spiritual development, regarding child rearing, regarding such things as relatives. So in the midst of all of these conflicts and difficulties, what God wants us to do is to use those experiences to help us to be more thoughtful, to be caring. I have discovered that God uses marriage to show our own selfishness, how we are into ourselves oftentimes rather than considering our mates. No matter where you are at on this spectrum today, God is there to help you. The question is, are you going to be willing to let Him lead you, direct you, and pay whatever price is necessary to make your marriage work?
Erwin Lutzer, beginning the puzzle of your roles. Next time, why marriage is a sure cure for selfishness. The Marriage Puzzle Series can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.